My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Oh, here I am.
Just do the theme music while I do the intro.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's
the Temple of Doom theme.
Yeah, I know.
We'll do the iconic one.
Oh. Just.
Yes, that's right. It's another retro episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. A world-renowned archaeologist, a marginal nightclub singer, and a little Chinese-American boy. Who says ridiculous catchphrases?
I think Chinese boy.
Well, not in real. Keep doing the song.
Oh, I get it. Then.
Yeah, and he's got some catchphrases. Sounds like fortune cookies. Hold on to your potatoes. It's a retro episode. Of You Can't Handle the Truth on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, September 1st,
mm-hmm.
2017. Welcome to Halloween, in my mind.
I know, it's getting,
all
yeah.
All of September and October. And we'll have our traditional episode from the Scare House
yeah.
next month. But I'm very happy that now most haunted houses just open up in September. They just get going.
Yeah, I mean, people will go. Once it's hoodie weather,
yeah,
you can open a haunted house.
Once it's dark by 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do it.
And in fact, I do want to especially mention, you know, Scare House is our place.
Yeah.
That's our haunted house. That's our favorite, it always. Mm-hmm. I've also always really liked 100 Acres Manor.
Yeah.
In South Park.
I haven't been there in years, and you keep saying that.
It's my number two in Pittsburgh.
And I don't...
You know, I don't say that lightly.
Right.
I go every year.
Yeah.
And I want to give them some love this year because, in fact, they were robbed in a really weird way. This was in the news. I'm not talking out of school. Someone came in and stole just stuff you kind of need to run a haunted house.
Really?
Like some lighting and sound equipment, some like key parts of that
right.
machine. They think it's either someone who used to work there and wanted to start their own house or had a hookup where someone was starting
wow.
a house and could sell it to them, or like a disgruntled
who was
just trying to screw them over.
That's crazy.
When that happened, they said, we're still going to be open. It's either the 8th or 9th of September, next weekend,
wow.
as you're hearing this. So, and especially because they kick a lot of money to charity.
Yeah.
That's a charitable endeavor. They benefit. I think they still benefit the Homeless Children's Education Fund and
they
Animal
do.
Friends.
Yeah. It may be different every year.
Yeah, they might change it.
Because
that's what
I've seen
it was
Children's Miracle Network there.
Children's Miracle Network. So right.
cool.
if you're in the area... I always love it. They've got a new one this year that's set in like 20s London, like
Ooh.
Plague masks and stuff, you know.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, so make sure you get to 100 Acres Manor too as since it's September 1st, Halloween.
Cool. Cuz it's already in our heads. I'm
oh,
already,
yeah.
This year I'm away a lot in
yeah.
October. And we're talking about Halloween already.
Right.
We're talking about horror movies already.
We're
getting itchy. That's because next week we're really excited.
Well, yeah, It comes out next week.
Mm-hmm. We get to see It next week.
But, pull back the curtain. We're actually recording this on August 23rd.
Okay.
And
Sean, why you got to tell everybody
I've been
the
thinking
secrets.
About Halloween since, I don't know, 4th of July. That's when I start thinking.
I just kept thinking when It starts, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to
yeah.
get me in the mood to watch horror movies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm plotting out. I'm going to try to do a horror movie for every day of October. Do 31
yeah.
horror movies. Doug Benson and I usually
yeah.
try to do that and suggest some films. And
well, I mean, we were just, hey, let's plug here at AMC Waterfront 22. That's why we're here tonight, because they do a retro movie every Wednesday night.
And every once in a while, when movies suck, like in the month of August,
right.
it really helps us out.
We come out to do a retro. They, I think they're still doing it. They're still looking to nail down that schedule for October.
Yeah, they threw out a couple movie names.
And a couple that I haven't seen. You're telling me to see Frighteners.
Yes.
Maybe that should be one of
honestly,
my Halloween.
I tell you what, The Frighteners is one of my most underrated movies, actually, of all time. It's such a fun, it feels like a fun action 90s movie.
Yeah.
You know, but it was, what year was that? Anyway, great Peter Jackson creativity. You get to see him play around with these almost cartoony ghost characters.
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox, as usual, is incredible.
Yeah.
And person you don't hear much about is Jake Busey.
Jake Busey.
Gary Busey's son plays the villain, and he is horrifying.
And the guy who hosted tonight's screening said his favorite horror film of all time is Event Horizon.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that. I'll go back and watch it, sure.
Oh, yeah. Event Horizon is a good space sci-fi horror movie. I could see that if you're really into sci-fi, then that's probably up there on your list. Oh, yeah, Frighteners was 96. Man, I remember seeing that in high school, and it was just so good, and it just didn't get love. It's, it's a weird thing.
Well, enough about all that.
Yeah. We got a good movie to talk about.
We want to talk to you about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I'll tell you, I was obsessed with Indiana Jones as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The Indiana Jones hat in attic is not the first Indiana Jones hat I've bought in my life. And every now and then I'm like, I'm just going to start wearing it. I'm just going to start walking around wearing a leather Indiana. It doesn't work. My head's too big.
Nah.
I'm too tall.
You got to be a special type of person.
Got to have the build. Anyway, when I was a kid, Temple of Doom was my favorite of the three.
Oh, yeah.
Because I loved Raiders, but this was so much more creepy and weird.
Yeah.
I mean, me liking weird shit is not new. I mean, that goes back to when I was seven. You know? And Last Crusade is a little slow for a kid.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Still really good.
So Temple of Doom was my favorite growing up. I mean, now I think, like everyone, it's like, okay, well, Raiders is the best.
It's really good.
But this isn't the first time I've rewatched Temple of Doom, but it is the first time I've seen it on the big screen.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen this in the theater,
too. And boy, is it, it's really intense.
Yeah.
On the big screen. And it really moves.
It doesn't stop.
No, it's relentless.
And this, if you have not seen Temple of Doom, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So there will be spoilers.
Yeah. We're going beginning to end.
I mean, really, the dinner scene is the only slow part.
And that, the slow part has
is that night
chilled
with
monkey brains and snakes coming out of other
it's
snakes.
Dinner, and then and then it's a little bit of, sexy talk.
Yeah.
For about 3 minutes, and then somebody's trying to kill him already.
Yeah.
It's right into the hole.
Yeah.
Right into the hidden passage.
I mean, it's one of those things that in a movie today, that would have lasted an hour 15.
And more than
that, you know,
They would have told us the backstory of Kalima, or the dude who, the Prime Minister.
Malaram. Yeah.
They would have get his backstory.
It would have been.
We'd have flashbacks of Willie's home in Missouri.
Jesus. And what I really was immediately struck by watching this one is how quick we get into it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, even like, I don't know why I'm thinking of this. Mary Beth just ran it and we were talking about it. Power Rangers earlier this year, which we kind of liked.
It was not terrible.
We thought
it was going to be hot garbage.
We thought it was going to be total garbage, and it was kind of a fine summer blockbuster.
Way better than Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah. And better than it had any right to be.
Right.
But remember how, like, the first 30 minutes of that movie, they're just kind of milling around, and it takes 2 hours to get to a real action sequence?
Yep.
This has a ridiculous musical number immediately followed by 20 minutes of nonstop action.
One of the best scenes.
Yeah.
One of the best kind of action scenes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really stop until the raft lands in the river.
No.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, sure, they take a minute and they take a nap and look at the map and,
right.
You know, but it doesn't stop. And I leaned over to Sean. I love this piece of trivia. Whether I don't know, it's just kind of in my head.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is George Lucas's and Steven Spielberg's James Bond.
Yeah.
This is
the opening scene in. By the way, if you've never caught it, in Club Obi-Wan.
Yes.
In Shanghai.
Especially the opening scene is an homage to them. I guess. Going to the Broccolis, which are the producers of James Bond, and and wanting to go take over James Bond, and they wouldn't let them, so they threw a suit on Harrison Ford in a scene they wrote for James a James Bond idea.
Yeah.
They put in the opening, and he's wearing the suit that Dr. No exactly, or that James Bond wears exactly in Dr. No,
and if you think about it, the move that Indiana Jones makes there, where he holds like a you know, one of those like long pronged forks you stick in a pork tenderloin. Yeah. When he like holds that to Willie's ribs, that's way more of a James Bond move than an Indiana Jones move.
Oh, and
right?
The drinking the poison, the antidote,
right?
And the shootout. Come on.
Yeah.
And how he escapes.
Well, this is what I wanted
to
do.
With the gong out the way. Oh God, what
so
a good scene.
It's such a good scene.
That's gong, and it's hitting all the... I love it.
I want to do this a little different than our retros.
Okay.
And actually just run down the plot, because I love this movie, but I kept thinking the best thing about this movie is it's so ridiculous and goofy.
I mean, and there's a couple things that are ridiculous.
And they pull it off. That's what's amazing about
James
it.
James Bond.
Right.
It's almost real life.
Yeah.
But it's like a little far-fetched.
And I'm going through this, and I'll plug this. This is really only for super fans.
Okay.
This is not the best book I've ever read. But I'm still reading this book called Why Did It Have to Be Snakes? That goes through the whole trilogy and just gives you historical background. I just pulled up.
Sean, I'm buying this on. It better be on Audible. I swear to God.
I'm reading it on Kindle. I just went back to the beginning.
Wait,
of.
Are you talking about the history of Indiana Jones films?
No. It gives you historical background on the stuff in the movies.
Are you kidding?
So the first, I just went to Temple of Doom, and
Sean, I'm so excited right
the
now.
The first chapter is about.
I'm going to Wisconsin tomorrow. I can't wait.
The first chapter is about. What about the giant gongs in the beginning of the thing, and it tells you like what gongs are used for and signify in China over the years. And then the second
is so cool.
About why Willie is singing Anything Goes in Mandarin rather than Shanghainese. And the next is about Narachi, the actual historical Narachi who's in the urn. And they're just like little like 2-3 page chapters about everything that is referenced in an Indiana Jones movie.
Sean.
No, it's pretty dry, I'll tell you that.
Sean,
but
you are making my movie nerd historian buff boner explode.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you when we're done.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to read this. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, look at and you know where I saw
it? I love history. I mean, that's all I...
Yeah.
That's
this is right up your alley.
Audible is all I do is history. And I've done film history, Hollywood histories, you know, but ancient histories I love too, but this...
I should probably name the author. You know what it was? I saw it last January when I was in Disney World in the like Indiana Jones gift shop. I saw this book and I wrote it down, and then I got it on Kindle like 6 months later.
And what's it called?
It is called... It's got one of those like forever long titles. Why did it have to be snakes?
Oh yeah.
From Science to the Supernatural, The Many Mysteries, something else. The author is named Lois Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. Lois Gresh. Why did it have to be snakes? So if you're just a casual fan, it's going to be a lot of detail. If you're an Indiana Jones super fan, and particularly someone who's interested in history.
Oh, I can't wait.
You gotta look that up. But yeah, let's run down what happens in this movie. So obviously, spoilers.
Yeah.
This opening scene is great. Indiana Jones is at a nightclub in Shanghai. Willie is just the singer there.
Yeah.
And
she's the headliner.
Yeah, she's the main attraction. And a deal has kind of gone south. Indiana Jones is trying to trade the ashes of... Narachi, who is
he's the first,
one of the founders of the Qing dynasty.
Yeah.
He has his urn, and he's trying to trade it for a valuable diamond.
Mm-hmm.
But the evil Chinese...
Which, by the way, looks like the Hope Diamond.
Yeah. But the evil Chinese villains have poisoned his drink and cackle about it like high school bullies slipped a worm in your spaghetti. Just like...
When they laugh at him, yeah. they're like... and they yeah. like... I mean, it's kind of like comic book villains, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So they poison him. He, for some reason, the next song starts. And so Willie and Indiana Jones spend like 2 minutes crawling through balloons across the floor to try to grab the diamond and the antidote while literal just like ninjas like jump kick over their heads.
Mm.
And it's great and it's so dramatic, but it is so... It is just a rainbow-colored mess of chaos
yeah.
that ends with him rolling the gong across the thing while somebody shoots at him
That's
with a
so
Tommy
good.
Gun and jumps out a window and falls through three awnings directly into Short Round's getaway car.
James Bond, dude.
Yeah.
So good. It's such a fun, almost mm-hmm. realistic,
yeah.
you know, that, I mean,
oh, I don't know about almost realistic.
No, what I mean is it's just far-fetched enough where it's believable,
mm-hmm.
But you can suspend your disbelief perfectly and really enjoy it. And I mean, that's why
yeah.
that's what makes Spielberg and Lucas great filmmakers.
Absolutely. They get on a plane.
Yeah. That's owned by Lao Shea.
That's also owned by Lao Shea, the guy who's trying to kill them.
Okay, and this is something I pointed out to you.
Pitch it.
They fly for a while.
Yeah. They are only in the air so that the pilots can bail out and the plane will crash. They fly across all of China.
Yeah. Like,
that's most of the world.
Yeah.
That's most of that hemisphere.
Yeah, and over Nepal as well.
Yeah. And it's.
I guess they tried to. I guess they tried to crash them in the Himalayas.
There's a chapter of this book about what ridiculous route they took.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Even this book is like, yeah, there's no way to survive jumping out of a plane with an inflatable raft.
Can you do that?
No, even this is just like, nope, that's not going to work. But
still
it's a fun scene.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what happens. By the way, they jump. They almost crash on a mountain.
Yep.
And jump on a raft out of the mountain, then ride the raft down a mountain, then into a river.
Raging Rapids.
Like the Raging Rapids. Into India. And this is also something I read about pretty extensively. They ended up in the wrong part of India, but the rest of that is like theoretically possible.
Right.
That their journey is not... It's not as it seems really ridiculous because they're on a snow-covered mountain and then literally in the jungle a minute later.
Yeah,
it's a little much, but it's not like they're like, oh, we're in Canada now. Like it's
right.
not completely out of the question.
Right.
So they get to a little village.
Isn't it crazy too how everything is like, what a coincidence?
Yeah,
but story-wise, you're fine with it because that's what you signed up for.
Exactly.
You know?
Because it's that big of a ridiculous adventure.
They go to this village, and what do you know? An archaeologist shows up that mm-hmm. can find exactly what this village is looking for.
And knows everything, including how to speak Hindi.
Love it.
Yeah, he just goes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's Indiana Jones. You don't ever see James Bond walk into a country and he speaks a language. You're like, of course he does.
Right, exactly.
It's James Bond.
The kids,
the American James Bond.
The
dude.
Kids are missing. The crops are dying. They stole the magic stone.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to fictional but very convincing Pangkot Palace.
Yeah.
Right. And this leads to maybe the best scene where they're riding elephants through the jungle, camp for the night after Willie gets dumped in a pond,
mm-hmm.
and Indian Short Round. Argue about cards while Willie keeps Laurel and Hardy stumbling into wild animals.
It's so good.
It's
and
really
then them
good.
Yelling at each other
yeah.
in Chinese.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
It's such a well-acted scene.
They make it to Pangkot Palace through a like tornado of giant bats.
I love it.
Where they find a 10-year-old Maharaja and
his prime minister
and Grady from The Shining.
Yeah, who's a British captain, I believe.
Yeah,
who's
because this,
on
this, and that's one of the true, you know, the accurate parts of this is that India was a British colony at the point at that
point
in
that's
history.
That's interesting too, because that helps out later.
Yeah,
it's very interesting.
The Maharaj is like, no, nothing's going on. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
During the scene where it's like, this is the one time where it's like, come on. Nowhere in the world do they say dinner is snake surprise and serve up a giant dead snake full of living snakes that people then
eat live. I don't know, man. In the world that
I read the book, Aaron.
Oh, don't
that's
ruin
all
the book. For
that's
me.
All made up. That's all made
so
up.
So what?
In fact, and
we
this
believed
was,
it.
I stopped reading the book for a while because I was so uncomfortable that the one thing in that feast that's close to accurate is the monkey brain thing.
What about the sheep eyeball soup?
I mean, yeah, people eat eyeballs.
Sure, they
but,
do.
But that like
chilled at, monkey brains.
At not chilled. That
dessert. Chilled monkey brains.
That in very limited times in very limited places, which I don't remember, and if I did, I wouldn't name because I don't want to sound racist, but there are like two or three places in the world where at one point they would eat live monkey brains.
Holy shit.
Whoa. And that's when I was like, we're done with this book for a little bit. Because holy shit. But anyway.
My God.
So, yeah.
Just when you thought you knew all the crazy people in the world.
This is
no disrespect to your culture that eats live monkey brains.
This is the slow scene in the movie. The scene with the monkey brains and the snake surprise and the eyeball soup is when it starts to drop down a little bit.
Yeah. And it really, it's just the after dinner, the establishment of the attraction.
You mean where they like voice fuck each other?
It's pretty sexy, actually.
It's like
it kind of a classic kind of.
Yeah.
It's not overtly sexual. It's very classic, kind of classy, like 40s, 50s kind of. And Lucas loves that stuff.
It's got a little bit of the screwball comedy in it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I will say this: my biggest problem with the movie, and this isn't usually what I'm saying, the actress was fine. The character of Willy is like. It's just, it's a lot of like, I don't like the jungle.
Yeah.
Like over and over and over again.
Yeah, Sean, this was made when Kate Capshaw wasn't making as much money as any man in Hollywood.
Well, no. Kate Capshaw was fine.
This is what it was then.
Kate Capshaw was fine. I think
the
character.
I know
it's what you mean. It's no Marion, right?
No, absolutely not.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you can't, so. Just by the proof of Marion, we can't say that, oh, well, they write women.
Yeah.
Like, no, they wrote her how they wanted to write her.
Yeah. And
they
wrote
her as a diva musical star.
And
like,
I get it. It does take it down for me when it's like it's just hit so many times.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
That's about my only complaint. But anyway, they have that scene. It's fun. I actually love the scene when they like get mad at each other and go to the different bedrooms where they're like, waiting for the other one to come over and just ranting.
Isn't that funny they kept that in? Like, it just, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. And then it ends with, oh, there's someone in Indiana Jones' room to kill
him.
Right back at it. We don't have any time for that
shit.
And
by the way, this is from dinner and a conversation about the history when he's basically, the only time he's really figuring, like, like trying to investigate the plot.
He puts on his professor glasses
for
a minute.
It's one conversation.
Oh, yeah, and the kid that wandered back into the village and handed him a piece of a
parchment,
manuscript,
yeah.
a drawing with some writing on it. And that's it. And it's not, look, what we just saw with the mummy.
And then we're back
where it was
again.
Like, where it was like, I know everything about Egypt now.
Oh.
I have a master's in Egyptology because of this Tom Cruise movie. Instead of just like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And then you get to have a book like this that goes and is like, here, you want to know more? Here. If you don't want to know more, isn't this a fun movie? Leave it at that.
Right, yeah.
So. Finds a secret passageway. Secret passageway is covered in insects, and this scene haunts me more than anything else I've ever seen.
When they, here, and I'll tell you what shot, the cutaway to their feet.
Yeah.
When they show, they cut down,
yeah.
And there's just things crawling all over their shoes.
Yeah.
It is hideous.
I'm terrified of bugs, and the more
I'm crazy about bugs,
and the more I think about it, this might be why. I wasn't born terrified of bugs, but when she reaches into that thing to pull the thing, this might be where my fear of bugs comes from.
Dude, it's hideous.
It's horrible.
And then every time they cut to Willie, she has bugs in her hair and on her back, like real bugs.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to do the IMDb trivia because it's 100 pages long. Go read it. It's amazing. But it said, I think the first fact was during those scenes, she had 20,000 bugs on her.
Shut up. I can't. I won't.
I would die.
No chance.
I would die of a heart attack in that environment.
You better pay me a stunt bump on that one.
I know.
Oh, man.
And how great is that? That's like a Star Wars scene where the spikes are... That's like the trash compactor.
Absolutely is.
The spikes are coming down. They're begging for help. And it's really funny, but still really tense, too.
Yep.
That's the line this walks. It's always funny and tense. Until we get into the sacrifice room and shit gets real.
This is where the MPAA...
Yeah.
Let's start with that little mini extra butter in here.
Mm-hmm.
Little trivia. That's where I turned to Sean and we had a brief whisper conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the scene, the cult.
Yeah.
The thuggy cult.
Yeah. Which is, this is extreme, but based on a real thing.
Yeah.
Based on reality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where they sacrifice people to a fire god.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the MPAA was like, this should be R.
Yeah. Because
this is straight up cult human sacrifice, ripping out hearts. Like, I mean, I remember watching this as a kid and was horrified by it. Just burned into my brain enough where I wrote a whole joke. Involving
it. You gotta bring that back when I'm there.
You can watch it on YouTube right now. It's on my YouTube page. Yeah, it's my closing joke on Gotham Comedy Live. I believe. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But man, I mean, this is so intense and dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's terrifying. They sacrifice a dude. Basically, drop him into lava. You saw the movie. I'm gonna have to recap it.
Do you want a taste? Do you want the reality here?
I really want to read this book.
Let me give everyone, and this will plug it. And I am quoting directly, but I told you where to get the book. Get the book.
Yeah, I am.
The real thuggies were known to the wealthier citizens of India.
Huh.
They were not merely highway robbers. Rather, they often befriended their wealthy victims who just happened to be traveling.
That's interesting.
After gaining the confidence and trust of a wealthy victim, the thuggee strangled, robbed, and buried him. And yes, the strangulation conformed to rituals related to Kali. A yellow scarf was used, however not a large flattened cage. Yet it must be recognized that the thuggy murders did indeed kill according to ancient religious rituals related to Kali, and these rituals included blessings over the axes that were used to dig the victims' graves.
Jeez.
After the murder and the robbery took place, the thuggies held ceremonies in honor of Kali and gave the idol some of the robbed goods.
Wow.
Kali, the goddess of destruction and death, was indeed behind all of this mayhem. According to thuggy lore, a long time ago, a demon named Rukt Bijdana ate people as soon as they were born. Kali tried to kill Rukt Bijdana, but every time the goddess was able to spill a single drop of the demon's blood, a new demon was created from the drop.
That is a hard boss to beat.
Right? Soon there were far more demons than Kali could handle. She grew exhausted from battling all of the demons, so she paused and brushed the sweat from her body. Two human men rose from Kali's sweat. Kali gave each of the two men a scarf, or rumal. The scarves were to be used to strangle demons and then pass down to the next male generation in the families. Hmm. If any man who didn't belong to the Kali-worshipping family used the strangulation scarves, the followers of Kali were commanded to kill him. Every murder became a sacrifice to Kali under her orders. Hmm. The thuggies believed that by murdering people on behalf of Kali, they were able to keep her quiet for another millennium. By strangling people, they were performing an honorable, noble, religious duty. They did not feel immoral or evil.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like 70% of my birth story.
Yeah, that's how it happened, right? You were born from someone's sweat because a demon kept bleeding.
They did all kind of walk around with red sashes on.
Yeah.
If you noticed that.
That's what's interesting. I mean, look, did they put a person in a cage and lower him into a volcano? No.
Whatever.
Did they pull hearts out of bodies? No. But what's interesting about reading this, and what's interesting about the Indiana Jones movies in general, it's never, you know, a literal piece of history, obviously, but everything that's in there is every proper noun has a historical basis. Right. Everything is a riff on something real from history.
I know.
And
I,
that doesn't that make it seem more real than, you know, when you just make up the mythology?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I read a book about, actually, a similar book like The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
About the Knights Templar and how true that stuff was. And that stuff is fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, holy moly. There were guys that guarded relics for 50 years. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, then we get real kooky. Yeah, after the heart ripping and the flame dipping,
well,
it gets real kooky because we just throw voodoo and zombies in just for the fuck of it.
Hey, man, why not?
And, like, until I read this, I was like, I never thought anything of, oh, yeah, that kid's got a voodoo doll.
Yeah.
Sure, in the exact opposite
Now, you
part
forgot
of the
to mention
world.
That all of the kids from the village are now slaves.
Are now enslaved.
Digging
and
for gems.
Yeah. And things go badly because our heroes are captured. They're going to sacrifice Willie. Short Round's working in the mines. And Indiana Jones is a literal Haitian zombie now because he was made to drink evil Kali blood.
Out of the, by the way, out of a corpse head.
Out of a
not
head.
Not a skull.
Out
like
of the
a
head
rotting,
of a corpse.
When he brings that head to his face and you got to drink out of it.
There are so many ridiculous, gross, awesome little details in this, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
But Short Round figures out all on his own that if you burn the people, they wake up.
Yeah, kind of.
So wakes Indy up. He saves Willie. And then, I'm skipping ahead a little bit.
That's fine.
You think we've had enough action. No, there's going to be like a 15-minute mine car escape sequence.
Which, by the way, is one of the most memorable scenes I think anybody's ever seen. Like
it's unbelievable.
And you know what? The one thing when you see it on the big screen, you notice this. There's 1984 effects.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? I mean, just to come up with this and write this scene is so good.
And pull it off with, you know, without the benefit of a computer.
And it's funny. It's like, oh, we're in this mine cart. We finally stop it and we get away. Oh, but wait. They fill the tunnels with water. And now we're on a cliff. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Stop.
Oh, and the cliff escape and the bridge. This movie is 12 consecutive climaxes.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, every one of these, from the nightclub to the plane to the jungle to everything that happens could be, you know, the big set piece at the end of a movie. Yeah. So I guess we won't spoil it from here. No, it's okay. They go on the bridge, the thing with the bridge falling, and then...
Oh, what a good scene.
What I forgot is that Indy invokes the wrath of Shiva to finish off Malaram.
Yeah.
He starts yelling at him about how he's betrayed Shiva.
Yeah.
And saying prayers that make the Shankara stones turn into flame and burn Malaram until he falls to his death.
Hey, kids. It's helpful to read books.
My favorite, study your ancient. My favorite detail ever. They are 200 feet above a cliff, 200 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Anyone who falls is dead instantly. But there are alligators in the water just because.
Hey.
That rip people
they're
apart.
Waiting. They're waiting. They see num-nums up in the air.
Oh, my God. It's like at the end of this movie you die three times.
Hey, if the guys fall, they might survive the fall in the water. No, they won't.
Yeah.
Nope. There's gonna be danger everywhere.
And when Indy's like, "Hey, if you don't let me go, I'll get rid of the stones," and Malaram,
I don't
like,
care.
Oh, what a badass! Is like, yeah, we'll find him.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And then we go to the village and everybody's happy. And
yeah, Captain England saves them.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. So this is my point. If you write this down, you would be like, this is a little much.
Yeah, you sound insane.
And it is handled perfectly because of the filmmakers involved at the absolute height of their powers, right?
Yeah.
Because Spielberg, when he's doing exactly what he knows how to do.
Yeah, this is 84.
Yeah.
Hey, what? I didn't finish telling that little secret. Where did that go from?
What?
I said the MPAA. This is when.
Oh,
they said,
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's a little piece of neat trivia that a lot of people don't know that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom led us to the PG-13 rating.
Right.
Actually, two Spielberg movies. This and Gremlins, when they when MPAA saw these movies and they're like, well, we can't make it, we don't want to make it R because no one's really getting like murdered.
Right.
But kind of.
There was no, I mean, it was everybody can see this. It's for adults or in between. Those were the three ratings.
Right. And they decided that there's got to be something else. And so Red Dawn.
Yeah.
They gave Red Dawn a PG-13 rating.
Right.
Which is crazy because there's a lot of killing in that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of what was PG. It's weird. A lot of what was PG and PG-13 back in the day would be R today.
Yeah.
And a lot of what was R back in the day just doesn't get made anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, that's... Hey, like I said, the IMDb trivia page for this is a book in and of itself. This is just one of the most interesting films.
Yeah.
This and Raiders.
I always bounce back and forth between which one I like better.
Yeah.
Raiders or Temple of Doom.
Oh, you go back and forth?
I do go back and forth because then I'm like, yeah, I hate Nazis. I mean, apparently now everybody in this country doesn't hate Nazis.
Yeah.
Apparently that's
weird times. Didn't think that was coming back.
Didn't think we'd have to worry about who likes Nazis.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I go back and forth between that the darkness and the kind of horror of this one and the nonstop action.
Yeah.
And then between the World War II action, which I love.
Right.
So it's tough.
I love the World War II action. I just think Raiders is tighter.
Not World War II. It's like
pre World War II. I just think Raiders is tighter. I just think it's more.
There's a lot more instead of happenstance. There's a lot more motivation behind the story as well.
And this is cuckoo bananas, insane one climax to the other, which is great.
Oh, it is like what if? Wait, what if then? And what if now?
And Raiders has more rhythms to it.
Oh,
Raiders has some beautiful slower moments.
Yeah.
Tens. I don't think we need to really think about the rating too much.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be tens.
One of the tens for sure.
And I hope that we get some Rogue One, Force Awakens level stuff out of the Indiana Jones franchise in the future.
I hope so too.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think that Harrison Ford has much left in him.
Do you think this is something that do we know yet? Do you think this is something J.J. Abrams would grab a hold of?
Maybe.
It's possible.
Disney bought the rights 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they didn't say what they were doing, but you know, somebody, one of the execs said, we didn't buy them to do nothing with them.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
So I wonder what's going to happen. I don't think you can do, you know, I mean, I don't think you can reboot it. I almost think that you have to kind of James Bond it.
Well,
I think you have to, like, here's a new actor and here's like even you have 1,000 stories that are referenced here where it's like, you know, there's one scene where it's like, well, aren't you going to be killed if you ever go back to Honduras? You just have to do that movie with a new actor.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
I think is what I want to see.
Here's,
and I hope
here's,
it's great.
Here's what I'm worried about is that, so when you look up a new Indiana Jones, it's supposedly supposed to be released in 2020.
Okay.
When Harrison Ford will be... three more years. He'll be 78 years old.
Yeah, it's not going to be him.
Well, he's in it.
Oh, dear.
He's the only person credited so far. But here's the other thing is that, you know, directed by Steven Spielberg, the screenwriter is David Koepp. Cop, maybe. K-O-E-P-P. I mean, he wrote the first Mission Impossible. He wrote Jurassic Park, Spider-Man, War of the Worlds, Sam Raimi, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But he also recently wrote The Mummy. So his headspace,
you know,
is The Mummy right now.
Right.
And if he thinks he's going to... Look, listen to me. And if he thinks he's going to roll in...
If this jaguar
and write Indiana
thinks he's
Jones
coming in here.
Like The Mummy, or before that, Inferno, that garbage Da Vinci... Wasn't that
Da
Vinci
Code,
Code third
three.
One?
Yeah.
He wrote the new Jack Ryan. In 2012, he wrote Premium Rush.
Oh, people liked that.
Shut up.
I didn't see it, but I know people liked it.
Well, before then, he did The Little Engine That Could, the movie.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
But he wrote Crystal Skull as well. and Zathura.
Yeah, you might have noticed me not mentioning Crystal Skull because
he wrote a ton,
I do not accept it.
Pretty much his last decent movie was Secret Window, 2004.
Yeah, that was good.
Panic Room was okay.
Panic Room
Stir
was
alright. Stir of Echoes was great. Oh, he wrote Snake Eyes. Yikes.
Look, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm just asking you, wouldn't it be great if there was a new Indiana Jones movie that felt like Rogue One?
I think the best thing that they can do is to create which they have been trying to do for years.
Yeah.
Is that finally do a young Indiana Jones trilogy.
Yeah.
I think that they should do they should start right after he gets his hat.
Yeah.
The flashback.
Yeah.
Right after he gets his hat.
Yeah.
I think that's where they should start.
I think it'll be fun.
You know?
How
does he get to Raiders of the Lost Ark? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just like they're doing with Star Wars and things like that. I mean, that seems like...
Doesn't this happen first? Isn't Temple of Doom the first movie sequentially?
No.
No?
Oh, no, no. No, Raiders of the Lost Ark takes place in like 35.
This takes place in 35.
No, this is 37. Yeah, this is before World War II.
And it's actually,
here's the thing, too, is the Nazis aren't taking over land yet. The Nazis right now, this is the period of time between Hitler becoming the Chancellor of Germany in 33, and between about, like, in the mid-30s, Hitler was really obsessed with the occult and Christian relics and thinking that he can gain power from spirituality. This is a real thing, by the way.
I know. Oh, Hitler, that is
so this is right now when he was sending his armies to see if he could collect relics to gain actual spiritual powers.
It is the second installment of the Indiana Jones franchise and a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That is incorrect.
This takes place in 1935. It was the first thing
since
we
37.
Saw. It's at Shanghai 1935. That's okay. The first thing.
Okay.
And Raiders takes place...
How did I never know this? I'm angry. I'm angry at myself.
Where is it? 1936. This is a year before Raiders of the Lost Ark. Sequentially.
I never realized that.
Yeah. All right. There's a fun fact for you on the way out.
Asshole. I don't like that. I didn't know that.
Aaron, before we get out of here, why don't you tell the folks about Laughable?
Oh, yeah. You can now find You Can't Handle the Truth on the Laughable app. My podcast, Grown Dad Business, is on there as well. You can go on Laughable. Just download it. It is every comedy podcast you can think of. You can search by comedian. Mm-hmm. You can find out what other podcasts comedians have been on. So if you search me, Aaron Kleiber, look it up. You'll see my podcast that I'm on with Sean and Grown Dad Business with Jason Clark. And then you can find out all the other podcasts that I've been a guest on, like Doug Loves Movies, John Reap's podcast, things like that. It's pretty cool. And for any comedian you love, you can find out everything they do on podcasts.
Listen to us on Laughable. And, hey, wherever you're listening to us, be sure to rate and review.
Please.
That's how we get people listening to the show. We want a subreddit. We want a subreddit. We want some message boards. People discuss the episodes. You can make that happen by rating, reviewing, and sharing. That's the best thing. That's the biggest
Please.
Help is if you go on Facebook, go on Twitter, throw it up there. We really appreciate it. If you didn't
listen last week, go check out the fall preview that we have.
Fall preview last week.
One of our most anticipated films. I'll spoiler it.
Spoiler last week's episode.
Will be next week.
Next week, after like a year of hype.
I can't wait.
We're gonna talk about it. We're ready.
I just want to leave them.
No, Aaron, make every noise you can from the sacrifice scene.
Madam, madam. Marasuram, Hamnam Shavari, Hamnam Shavari, Hamnam Shavari, Maram, Maram, Marasuram, Shkalema Shakti De. I know it's all different, it's three different characters, Sean. I was just doing, like, I should do the Audible book.